two short readings now. The first is taken from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6, and it's on page 740 in the Pew Bibles. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sufferings, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The second short reading is from Hebrews. It's chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and can be found on page 1210. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
So, friends, Andy Wooding Jones is the Archdeacon of Rochester, lives with his wife, Margaret, who's here this evening in Hildenborough, and I thought it'd be nice, because he was so close, to just have him with us. We're expecting our own Archdeacon, Julie, to bless the refurbished kitchen area March the 18th, if memory serves me well. But, Andrew, tell us about your day so far and the sorts of things archdeacons do and maybe how we can be praying for you. Obviously, we pray for the pagans in the north in Hildenborough, and you'll get kind of covered in that because we're all righteous here in Tunbridge. But anyway, what have you been up to today and how can we be praying for you?
Great. Thank you. Well, I'm unusual because I'm an archdeacon who doesn't live in my area. So my area is the north bit of Kent from Dartford across the Mowbray Towns, kind of along the A2, mostly north but a bit south of the A2. So that's Dartford, all that's happening in Ebbsfleet and Gravesend, and then into the Medway Towns, up to the Hoop Peninsula and down around Cobham and Mepham. Today, I started the day preaching in St. Justice in Rochester this morning, talking about Jesus' temptations. Had lunch with Helen the Vicar, and then I went down into Chatham, where we are replanting St. John's Church in Chatham, but it's not yet fit for human occupation. So I led a service in the Tappentin nightclub, where I presided at communion and preached from Colossians.
Gosh, I'm feeling guilty to have asked you to come out this evening. But anyway, thanks for the extra effort on this. But it's great to have you here. Why don't I pray? Is that all right? And then we'll...
Please.
Father, thank you for Andy being here this evening. We thank you for those churches that he's ministered in this today already. And we pray for the growth of your church in this Diocese of Rochester. Pray for Andy and for Margaret, and that you would open your word to us all now. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you. It's really lovely to be with you. Thank you for the welcome and for the invitation. A few years ago, I was working in a church in Sheffield. And one of the particular joys of that church was that there was a team that we called the Festivals Team. And their role was to creatively explore how we as church celebrated the different seasons through the church's year. So that meant making big things of days like Christmas and Easter Day and Harvest and Pentecost. But they also thought about how we celebrated and considered the seasons in the church's year, particularly those of Lent and Advent. And it was kind of unusual. It was a very lively church, but it was a church that really recognized the need to pause in those times when the church slows down. And in a particular year, I think it was probably 1998, but I might be wrong, they took as their theme that phrase that we just heard from the reading in Hebrews 12, consider Jesus, or consider him. And right the way through that Lent, our services, our sermons, things that we were doing in our small groups were focusing on considering Jesus. Taking time to reflect on who is Jesus. What is his invitation to us? What is it that we are moving towards as we journey through Lent towards Holy Week and Easter? How might we consider him? And one of the things that they did in that year was to produce a little bookmark just with those two words, consider Jesus, in purple. And that bookmark still sits in my Bible, probably more than 20 years later, with that reminder to us to consider Jesus. And I want us to do that this evening by reflecting on the words from our first reading from Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 stands as a prophecy, looking forward to Jesus. And so it's where we're considering in advance the things that Jesus would do and who he was. There are three pairs of ideas I believe come from this passage which are helpful for us on this first Sunday in Lent that we might hold on to as we journey through this season. There are three things that we can see in this passage. The first is the one who takes our infirmities and brings healing. The one who takes our sorrows and brings peace, and the one that takes our transgressions and brings forgiveness. Surely, we read, he took up our infirmities, and then later, by his wounds, we are healed. He takes our infirmities, by his wounds, we are healed. And this speaks of how it is that God enters those places of brokenness in our lives. Those places where things are not quite right and where we feel inadequate or infirm. The God who meets us in brokenness. But the extraordinary thing that it's the God who is wounded who meets us in brokenness. It's not just that Jesus comes as healer. Jesus is wounded that he might be healer. There was a book that was popular in the 1980s called Wounded Healer. And it talked about the fact that when we reach out pastorally to others, we do it not as those who are complete or whole, but we do it as those who ourselves are weak and broken. And that we are not ever perfect, that we reach out as those who are broken to others who are broken. We reach out as those who are wounded to others who are wounded. And Jesus, Son of God, is wounded that we might be healed. By his wounds we are healed. And so into our infirmity he offers himself. Into our infirmity he offers a sense of hope, a sense of healing, a sense of change. And this passage reminds us that as we consider Jesus, as those who may be aware of our infirmity, aware of those places of brokenness, that we can reach out to him. Reach out to him as the one who meets us in that place with empathy and with sympathy. We know that as we do that, we know that as we reach out to the one who was wounded, as we reach out to the one who offers himself for us, that his ways are not always our ways. So we may have a plan as to how God will deal with our brokenness, how God will deal with our infirmity. And some of us know those places where it's felt like God hasn't done it the way we'd want him to, hasn't quite worked out how we would have wanted. And of course the Apostle Paul speaks, doesn't he, of his thorn in the flesh. That time when he prayed and prayed and prayed that God would take away that place of pain, whatever it was. Commentators love to differ as to exactly what was going on for Paul, but we know something wasn't right. And yet Paul speaks of the God who brings strength, grace, in Paul's weakness. God in Jesus. Jesus, the wounded one, meeting us in our infirmity. And as we, in this Lenten season, consider Jesus, may we see him one who is interested in those places of weakness, who is interested in those places of infirmity, who cares for us and who reaches out to us. My own story is of at least two moments immediately I think of where God unexpectedly met me in a place of infirmity. One was over a time I had for many years, right into adulthood, had eczema, which seriously affected my hands. And often my hands would be cracked and kind of scaly as a result of that. Just exactly 20 years ago, we were having a holiday. We were about to move, actually, from Sheffield down to Ashburnham Place in Sussex. And we were having a holiday as we prepared to move. And on that holiday, which was going to include some beach time, kind of the worst thing when you have sore hands, kind of the sand and the salt both kind of get into it, my children just offered to pray for me, completely unexpectedly, and remarkably, miraculously, that childhood condition, I would then have been in nearly 40, my late 30s, changed for good. I went through a house move, coping with all that kind of dusty, dirty stuff that happens when you have a house move, and the holiday, and was fine. The God who meets us in the unexpected. And then more recently, actually, this is another story that relates to moving. When we were moving from Birmingham to Hildenborough in 2014, I had driven down to Hildenborough with a van load of things and was unloading the van into the garage in the house we're living in Hildenborough. And as I stepped out of the van carrying probably more boxes than I should have been, I misjudged where the drive was. And instead of stepping down into the drive, I stepped off the drive and badly stumbled. But I had a van to unload, so I carried on unloading the van and carried on doing that. I then drove the van from Hildenborough to St. Albans, where my brother lives, and walked into their house. And my sister-in-law said, "Andy, are you okay?" I said, "Oh, I've just had a fall." And she looked at me and said, "You need to go to hospital." I had broken one toe in one foot and had very badly damaged the ankle in the other foot. And sufficiently so that Margaret had to come from Wales, where she was, to rescue both me and the van that I was driving and to bring me home. I couldn't drive. And I was on crutches and struggling. We went to a Christian conference, which we'd booked long before I'd helped into myself, and the bed and breakfast we were booked into, I was due to be sleeping on the top floor of a bed and breakfast without a lift. At that conference, somebody had what I guess you'd call a prophetic word, a word that said there's somebody here who's damaged their foot and their toe. And I'm going to pray, without them coming out from the front or anything, I'm just going to pray for them. And the miraculous thing for me was that I left that conference that evening without needing my crutches. I never needed them again. I recognise the God who does, surprisingly, unexpectedly, certainly didn't deserve it, meet us in conditions and bring healing. But I also recognise those times where it's different from what we expect. That kind of thorn in the flesh moment. The God who brings healing in our infirmity. Secondly, the passage talks about sorrow and peace. He carries our sorrows. The punishment that brings us peace was upon him. I wonder what the sorrows are that we carry. Some of them may be things which are very immediate, things that are now moments of sorrow, things that sadden us, things that weigh us down, things that burden us. Sometimes they're things that go back over a long, long time. I remember being speaking on a retreat for Christian leaders a number of years ago, actually in Ireland, and I was talking about this particular passage, actually in the context of a seminar on healing, and talking about how God brings peace into places of sorrow. And after the conference, I had a letter from somebody who was a church leader, who talked about the sorrow that she'd carried over a number of years, I think 13 or 14 years, following a miscarriage, and said, as you talked about God's peace coming into moments of sorrow, I felt a peace that I've not felt before. Something happened for me that, having carried this grief that was very close, something changed. And there is this sense in which Jesus talks about peace. He says to his disciples, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's a different kind of peace. And there's something about the way in which that shalom, that peace of God, ministers to us in our sorrow. This Jesus we're considering would say to his disciples, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's that invitation for those who carry sorrow, who carry burden, who feel heavy laden, to find Jesus. In our 21st century independence, we're sometimes very good at carrying burdens alone. I can manage, I can cope, I'll be all right. And there's that invitation from Jesus, come to me and find my peace. Come to me and find my restoration. Jesus is wounded that we might be healed. He is punished that we might find that peace which passes understanding. And then thirdly, we see the whole transaction between our transgressions and Jesus' forgiveness. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Most of us know what it feels like to be sheep who do their own thing. I mentioned earlier on that Margaret and I spent 12 years at Ashburnham Place in East Sussex. Some of you will know it. Ashburnham is 220 acres surrounded by farmland that's farmed by other people. And we had a season in which our neighbouring farmer had sheep in the field closest to Ashburnham Place. But the farmer wasn't very good at maintaining his fences, and they were his fences, not our fences. But his sheep thought Ashburnham Place was much more interesting than the fields the farmer had provided. And so on almost a daily basis, I would be phoning the farmer saying, Richard, your sheep are back. Could you come and collect them, please? And they would enjoy the roses and they would wander into the nice bits of our grounds, not the rough bits, but the nicely gardened bits. On one occasion, I'm not quite sure how it happened, in fact I probably ought not to know, one of the sheep found itself in our staff room. I think it was probably encouraged in. But anyway, these sheep modelled what it means to go astray. However much they were given a good place, good grass, good place to be, there was always something more attractive. And they went astray, going their own way rather than the way the farmer wanted them to go, and certainly not the way that I wanted them to go. And we know that propensity that we have to do our thing. Sometimes it's about how we do that in relation to what God wants. Not your will be done, but my will be done. Not what you want, God, but what I want, God. And our sense of entitlement, our sense of selfishness, our sense of self-interest means that we can easily find ourselves going astray, doing our own thing. The passage in Hebrews that we had read to us alongside this passage from Isaiah speaks of us throwing off the sin that entangles, getting rid of those things which hold us, and I guess prevent us from considering Jesus, prevent us from fixing our eyes on Jesus, prevent us from running the race that he has marked out for us. That idea that we would abandon God and do our own thing. Sitting in church on Sunday evening kind of sounds, why would I do that? But we know that in the course of the week, it's so easy for us to find ourselves in those places where, for convenience, because it's easier, because it's less demanding, we do our thing rather than God's thing. And we know that as we journey in Lent towards Good Friday, that it's on the cross that Jesus pays the price for our transgressions. He would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And the Lord has laid our iniquity on Jesus. All that we have done wrong, all that we have messed up, past, present, and indeed future, is laid on Jesus. And as we have done tonight, in confession, we're invited to return to the one who forgives, to return to the one who restores, to return to the one who takes those wandering sheep and says, this is the best place for you. Why don't you return to this field where there's good grass, where it's safe, and where you will flourish? Roses may look attractive, but they're not good for you. Other people's fields may look attractive, but they're not good for you. Go home, be in the place that you belong. And so as we in this Lent pause and consider Jesus, may we remember that he is the one who is wounded, that we might know healing. May we know he is the one who carries sorrow, that we might know peace. May we know him as the one who is punished, that we who wander might be forgiven and return home. And may we remember that it's about him and not about us. It's about his strength renewed in us. May we consider Jesus, fix our eyes on him, and receive all that he has for us. Amen.